The reading is written in Philippians, chapter 3, starting at verse 1. It's on page 1180 in the Church Bibles. That's Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Further, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Jesus Christ, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If somebody else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Mark. As you can imagine, over the last few weeks, I've been thinking about my time at St. Patrick's and reflecting on it, and had lots of questions, but probably one of the sort of key ones has been this. What's been my greatest triumph? So obviously, there's a number of contenders here. As many of you will know, I am still the reigning champion baker at St. Patrick's, beating Helen Mitchell in a terrible... Actually, the story about that, the worst part of that was that Helen was talking, who was it, to Daphne, I think it was. And she said, when Daphne was one of the judges, she said, oh, don't worry, Helen, the competition was so poor. And unfortunately, Helen had entered that competition. No, but anyway, no, was it that baking thing? Or was it the beautiful feet competition, which I won at St. Patrick's as well? But the one which perhaps I might have taken most pride in, but didn't quite work out, was the Philippian Olympic Challenge. Now, those of you who are here in 2012 might remember the Philippian Olympic Challenge. It was a memory verse challenge. And the gold standard, at least for, I think, was it over eights or something, was to learn the whole of the book of Philippians from the Bible off by heart in a year. And I managed it. I was one of the six who managed it. But my victory was somewhat tarnished by the fact that one of the other six, English wasn't even their first language. And they learnt it off by heart. But it got me thinking about that when I was choosing this passage for today. Looking back to that Philippian Olympic Challenge, why did we choose the book of Philippians to learn off by heart? Well, it is an amazing book. Practically, it's 104 verses, which is two verses a week over a year. But also, because it is really the story of my life. It is my testimony. A testimony is when a Christian tells the story of their life in a way that points to God. But mostly because the book of Philippians is so strikingly all about Jesus. So today we're going to think about Jesus through this passage. And also as I talk a little bit about my story. So let's pray as we do so. Father, please would you speak to us through your word today. And where your word has transformed my life, may you speak through that. But most of all, Lord, I pray that our vision would be filled with Jesus. Amen. The theme of our passage today and the theme of this sermon is that of striving. Striving, working with all your being to achieve something. Actually, the closest physically I've got to this wasn't rowing or rugby, although actually, to be honest, a scrum and as a second row in rugby does feel like that, was probably the tug of war we had against Holy Trinity, in which we were robbed, because we were pulling uphill, it turns out. But there, you know, you feel your whole body as one, straining and striving. And I want you to hold that idea in mind as we look at our passage, because we're going to look at two strivings in Paul's life, and two strivings in my life, and two strivings in your life. And we're going to see here that Paul points us to a new striving. I'm going to do that by looking in our passage at the value of Jesus, at the gift of Jesus and the pursuit of Jesus. So the value of Jesus. In the first part of our passage, Paul sort of sets out his CV. He sets out all the things that other people would be impressed by. They don't really mean very much to us today because they were things that the people he knew would have been impressed by. We might have a different list. But he goes through it when he talks about he circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Paul was a man who strived. He strived to be great. But he did so for a reason. He strived in order to feel safe. He talks about this putting confidence in these things. And when you talk about putting confidence in something, it means you rest your life on it because you think it will hold you. It will keep you safe. It's the thing you place your trust in to keep you safe. And for Paul, the number one threat he knew he faced was the day of judgment. The day when his life would be weighed by the living God, against the standard of God's holiness. And so he was desperately striving to do enough to feel safe on that day. Now, most of the time, most of us aren't that smart. We focus on much smaller dangers and ignore that much bigger danger. But we too put our confidence in things to try and feel safe. Whether it's work or relationships, health or reputation. The experience in my life, which has shaped me more than almost any other, was being bullied as a child at school. I'm actually a very fearful person, and I'm not very strong. I get frightened very easily. And so being bullied was horrible. And as I came out of it, as I sort of grew 12 inches in 12 months, as I sort of joined the rugby team, as I started doing well at school, as I started thinning out, I thought, this is my chance. For so long I have felt unsafe. This is my chance to feel safe again. And so I strived. I strived academically. I strived in sporting endeavour. I strived in relationships. I strived in trying to get my body to look the part. I worked so hard, and I was pretty successful at a lot of it. But like Paul, I discovered this. It was rubbish. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. It's rubbish. All that striving, it just feels like a heavy weight, and it doesn't make me feel safe. It's rubbish. Why is it rubbish? Well, since mentioning I was going to leave St. Patrick's, at least a couple of people have come up to me and said, "Oh no, David, I was really hoping you would do my funeral." Right, now, can I say, you really don't know. Anyone got an idea of how you respond well to that? Then do come and talk to me. A number of people actually said, like, people have complimented me during my time, so I say, "Oh, he does do a good funeral." They say, "What do you do with that?" Now, but let me tell you why, or at least the first reason why. The first reason why I do a good funeral is I hate death. I really hate it. I hate death because it strips away everything we strive for, all our accomplishments, all our relationships, even our very breath. It strips it all away. And it all proves to be for nothing. Death laughs in the face of our strivings after significance, after safety. It's a horrible, it is the sickest, ugliest thing out there. And Paul knew that. Paul knew that all our strivings would be carrying this weight of trying to make ourselves feel safe, but would end with us in the grave. That's the first reason I really put a lot of time into funerals. But the second is so much better. It is that death does not have the final word for the believer. Because there is one who has broken death, who has defeated death, and opened the path to glory. And that is Jesus. Being bullied has defined me. And there have been some things which have been more significant in my life. My family, my wife. But each of those, the most they can do is mitigate some of the effects of bullying. Only Jesus turns those negative effects for good. And so this is what Paul writes. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ Jesus. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Paul discovers something so much better. He discovers something so much more valuable, so much more wonderful, and so much safer than all the things he had once strived for. He's found Jesus. And that's what I found. In the midst of my bullying, in all of my struggles, I found him. In fact, the problem with those other strivings, it isn't just that they're futile, they're pointless. Paul discovered they actually worked against him finding the very thing he was looking for. There's that really telling moment. He says, as he's sort of setting out his great CV, he says, in regard to the law of Pharisee, that means he was super good at keeping God's word. But then, as for zeal, as for commitment, how did he show his great commitment to God? He persecuted the church. He ended up doing the very opposite of what he wanted to do. But then he found Jesus. he discovered Jesus' great value. And he discovered that Jesus' great value comes because it is a gift. This is the second part. Paul discovers that he is set free from striving. He says this, I consider all those things rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. He discovered that the very thing he had been striving for had been offered to him all along as a gift. Now, what is it? What does he mean? We use this word righteousness. If you like, righteousness at its simplest just means this, being right with God, being in a relationship of love with God. And here's the thing. If you're not right with God, there is nothing that can save you. Death wins. But if you are right with God, there is nothing you need fear ever again. Because he is the one who will see you through the darkest valley. So he discovers the value of Jesus because he discovers the gift of Jesus. And that was my story. That has been my story of discovering the gift of Jesus. Discovering that I can let go of all my strivings and take hold of him. And this then leads, having been set free from this old striving, it leads to a new striving, a beautiful striving. Paul discovers that the pursuit of Jesus is to be his new goal. Remember that. Remember that idea of the tug of war. All of that energy, all of that drive, every ounce of strength had been used to try in his own strength to feel safe, to feel right with God. And it led to death. But now he is to use that same effort, no longer to try and be good enough, but to try and be close enough to Jesus. All his old striving was to try and protect himself. Now he is straining towards something wonderful or someone wonderful. Listen to this. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, forgetting all of that striving, and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And what is that prize? It is to know Jesus. I remember, if you remember, I got a sabbatical about, was it 5 years ago, I think, something like that? And I wrote notes in a book. Somebody gave me a book to write things in. Very helpful thing to do. And I remember one time in prayer, just writing this down. I said, I commit that with all of the energy that I have sought to be successful, I will now pursue Jesus. During my time at St. Patrick's, I've done many, many things wrong. Some of them really serious. And every one of them is because I have strived to be successful. Sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for bad. Sometimes for your sake, most often for my sake. Every time I've done something wrong, every time I've lost my rag, every time I've been unfaithful, every time I've manipulated, have always been because I've been striving to be successful. Instead, the Lord was saying to me, let go of it and strive for Jesus. Pursue him. And what's really interesting is, how do you pursue him and how do you grow closer to him? Well, Paul says here, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. The truth is that we draw close to him when we suffer. Actually, the irony was that during my years of bullying, I had the most intense experiences of closeness to the Lord Jesus. It has been through the hardest times in my life that I have felt his overwhelming love and closeness above all others. And this leads to this, what I call beautiful striving. Not striving after an uncertain outcome, or in fact a doomed outcome, because it turns out that this striving is different. We are to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. As I strain towards Jesus, I discover he has already taken hold of me. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has already called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. This is striving without stress. And this is what I offer you today. I offer you a new striving. Not striving after safety by trying to do enough, or be enough, or know enough. But striving after the Lord Jesus. And I suppose my challenge to you today as I leave is this. Will you hear this call? Where are you in this race? Maybe you've not yet started the race. Maybe you're still wondering about Jesus. Well, can I ask you today, why don't you today choose to start that race? How do you do that? It's very simple. You, in your mind's eye, like, why don't you take that backpack of all of that striving you've been doing? Whether it's at school or work or in relationships or in looks or whatever, just take it off. Surrender it and choose to make Jesus the one you strive for. Start that race today. Like, you don't have to go on a course to do it, although a course can be really good. Ask Dave afterwards. You could do it right now. You could just say, Jesus, you're my goal. I'm sorry I've wasted my time on other things. And you start the race. Or maybe you've already started the race, but you've noticed you got quite slow. In fact, quite often you just stopped still. And you're confused why that is. You remember when you used to run with real speed and vigor, and you felt like you were unstoppable. Jesus felt so close. Well, can I suggest that it's because, like me, you keep picking up the other things you're striving for? Yes, Jesus is your safety. Yes, Jesus is your refuge, but also these other things. Just let go of them today. Start running again. Or maybe you're right at the end of the race and you're struggling. You may only have a little strength left. But what matters is not that you're able to give a lot in the race, but that you're willing to give everything you have. Because if things are really hard, it may be that the finishing line is in sight. And you're about to see Jesus. What Peter said will no longer be true of you. That you will pass the gate of glory, and you'll no longer say about yourself, though I have not seen him, I love him. And though I do not see him now, I believe in him. You will say, though I see him now, I rejoice that he is my Saviour. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that we would let go of all our strivings. Strivings after things that are ultimately deathly, futile, rubbish. Father, instead, please help us to press on to Jesus, to pursue him, ask this in his name. Amen.